views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Light shines on Lyme disease. Limelight Radio with Katina Macris is an inspirational, cutting-edge radio show educating worldwide listeners on a diversity of Lyme disease-related topics. Each week, Katina will interview some of the world's leaders in health, wellness, spirituality, and human potential to expand awareness and activate change to eliminate Lyme disease for good. Limelight Radio is a much-needed venue for the USA's number one fastest-spreading infectious illness. Katina is an award-winning author, a natural healthcare practitioner with over 30 years' experience, and most importantly, a healing force with her own personal Lyme journey. Be part of a movement to help end the suffering and confusion surrounding Lyme disease and begin to take action. Now here's your host, Katina Macris. Then I go.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Katina Macris, and welcome to Limelight Radio. Today, we have a wonderful guest with us, Logan McCulloch, who is a 52-year-old native of Louisville, Kentucky. And for the past 20 years, he has been a nonprofit executive with expertise in fundraising, marketing, public relations, and public speaking. His current position is Chief Development Officer of the Kentuckian Region of the American Red Cross. In 2003, he hiked 215 miles of the Appalachian Trail and Long Trail in Vermont over a two-week period. During that trek, he adopted the trail name. Pseudonyms are common among distance hikers, apparently. And his was Unitic, which now seems somewhat prophetic given the nature and goals of his adventure. Being an experienced backpacker, Logan thought he was well informed about the facts of Lyme and other tick-borne diseases. He was wrong, as he began to personally experience the frustration and suffering caused by the misinformation and ignorance surrounding Lyme disease within his region and across the country. Logan chose to become active in the public awareness and advocacy efforts of the Kentuckian Lyme Disease Support Group. Since the spring of 2012, he has utilized the skills and relationships developed over his professional career and worked with a core group of veteran Lyme warriors to succeed in many important political steps in his state. Just this past year, Logan has been back out on the Appalachian Trail again. And we are here to hear very much today from this passionate, informed man. And I want to tell you, listeners, that today is also a book giveaway show. The first five callers to WBLQ at the phone number 800-930-2819 will receive autographed copies of my award-winning book, Out of the Woods. Logan and I share a deep love of nature, and with his journey into the woods, I feel it's fitting that I share Out of the Woods with this listening audience, for this is a book of true inspiration and recovery tools. And Logan is a man on a mission. So once again, the radio show station number to call in is 800-930-2819, and I say hello, Logan McCulloch. Welcome to Limelight Radio.
Hi, Katina. It's so nice of you to have me on your show. I really appreciate it.
Very much my pleasure to have you. You are passionately involved in the Lyme disease equation, and you've been out there on the trail, and you know what the situation is like in Kentucky in the South, where people are so misinformed. So, you know, it's my pleasure to help bring more awareness and your voice to this dialogue.
Yes, and I deeply appreciate the chance to get to reach your audience with my story, and because I think it's, you know, very similar to this, to the experiences that so many hundreds of thousands of people are dealing with all over this country, including the South.
Yes, very much so. So why don't we just help our listeners understand a little bit about your background and your connection with Lyme disease. Could you fill us in?
Yeah, and I'll bring you up to date that the bio you read was actually current up until the time I left for the trail in 2013. I actually left the American Red Cross and sold my house and most of my possessions when I decided to try and what's called thru-hike the 2,000-plus mile Appalachian Trail. I had contracted Lyme disease for sure. It's always possible, as many of us know, that I may have had Lyme for many, many years prior to the time that I got really, really sick, being a 25-year backpacker and an outdoor lover. But I went on a backpacking trip to Mammoth Cave National Park in May of 2011 with my then 18-year-old son. He had just graduated high school, and we were kind of doing a graduation trip. First morning in camp, I woke up with that kind of itchy feeling you get when you have a bug bite, and found more than 20 deer tick nymphs attached to my legs, anywhere from between my toes up to my waist. And knowing what deer ticks look like, I was certain of the species. But at the time, I had the misimpression that's very, very common, and it's one of those Lyme myths that I've been trying to bust over the course of my hike, that if you got those ticks off, you know, within 24 to 36 hours of the bite, that there was a relatively small chance of any bacteria, you know, being able to be transmitted. I got those ticks off within 10 to 12 hours because we had just been in the night before. And my mistake, I never sought out, you know, medical treatment after that experience. And it was probably about 5 to 6 weeks later, the classic development, and I now know, of Lyme symptoms, that these symptoms started to show up, the asymmetrical joint pains, the memory problems, the sleep issues, fibromyalgia-type symptoms. And long story short, here in Kentucky, as in so many states that are not considered endemic for Lyme, I wound up bouncing around to a number of medical professionals, was told repeatedly that Lyme disease does not exist in Kentucky, even though I'd had a confirmed series of tick bites. And I finally, Katina, about 5 months after I was bitten, had to go out of state. There are no Lyme specialists in the state of Kentucky. I had to go out of state to see a Lyme-literate medical doctor and was finally accurately diagnosed. When I was so sick, it was, you know, very, very hard for me to continue to make it into work every day. And I started treatment in November of 2011. After about a little less than a year and being treated for Lyme and for mold illness, which was part of the equation for me, I finally started seeing some light at the end of the tunnel. And having the background that I have in public relations, nonprofit fundraising, I started to have the question come to my mind, if I get my health back, what do I do with this gift? You know, how do I take what I've learned about the awful situation in this country with the Lyme disease epidemic and the way that patients are being ignored and marginalized and belittled and denied treatment? What can I do about that? And that's when the idea of thru-hiking the Appalachian Trail and using it to raise awareness of this epidemic first came to mind.
Fabulous. Fabulous. I love these stories like yours, akin to mine, where, you know, we have struggled and suffered and were misdiagnosed and mishandled and, you know, the whole medical system's ignorance on this, you know, exploding epidemic. I really applaud you, Logan, for now taking this new chance, your second chance at life, and working so hard for so many millions of people. That's beautiful. Thank you.
Well, thank you. You know, the another common experience, I kind of reached a crossroads. I recovered enough of my health that physically I felt like I could tackle the trail or at least attempt it. But I still had such significant cognitive problems that it was hard for me to continue to do my job. I was an executive manager with, you know, a large set of responsibilities in disaster relief for the American Red Cross. And I got to the point, Katina, where I felt like I had a choice, you know, one of two choices: apply for disability because I really just couldn't do that job to the level I needed to be able to, and that was, you know, worthy of the Red Cross, or take a crack at hiking the Appalachian Trail and take a little bit of a leap of faith that something would unfold through that experience that would be the next chapter of my life. And so I obviously took the latter, and I'm thrilled to say that, you know, I wound up hiking about 1,900 miles of the trail, and I had to get off with about 3 weeks left, a little less than 300 miles. I wound up contracting another infection while I was on the trail called Giardia, which is...
Oh, boy, yeah.
Yeah, it's a waterborne, commonly a waterborne parasite. You can also get it from other sources, but it's a microscopic, you know, gastrointestinal parasite, and I hiked with it for about 5 weeks. My my doctor, you know, got me antibiotics on the trail, and we kept trying to treat it while I was hiking, and I finally had to go ahead and get off with just a few hundred miles left. So I do intend to go back and finish.
Oh, yes, definitely. I'm a great supporter of you with this mission. I have to share with you and our listeners that since I was a 10-year-old, I used to spend my summers in Vermont, and we did so much hiking in the Green Mountains and the White Mountains and all the way up into Maine to the Mahoosics and Katahdin, and they were beautiful years of my life in the 60s and 70s, and now I live in a very, you know, hill country of New Hampshire, and yes, you've got to finish it. I mean, this is such an important journey you're on, I mean, metaphorically and in terms of Lyme disease awareness.
Yes, you're absolutely right. And as you saw in my bio, that I started the trip in Maine. I started from the northern terminus of the Appalachian Trail in July, kind of backwards, as opposed to about 85 to 90% of the people that try to hike this in one season start from down in Georgia. So I was thrilled to get to experience Maine and your now state, New Hampshire, Vermont, incredibly beautiful places. And also places, obviously, that have been just inundated with Lyme disease. And so my intention was to hike in an area where Lyme disease is present and to make those connections with people all up and down the trail and try over that 5 to 6 months to draw a continual attention to this topic. But then to finish my trip down in the South among states like Kentucky that continue to perpetuate the myth among the public health organizations that the Lyme doesn't exist in those states, which is just not true. Georgia, North Carolina, Tennessee, Kentucky are feeling the impact of Lyme disease in much the same way that states like Virginia and Pennsylvania began to feel it just 10 to 15 years ago. And to not acknowledge that from a public health perspective is something I wanted to try and make an impact in, is to open that dialogue a little bit further. You know, in that vein, I've been down and had meetings in our state capitol with our leaders of our Division of Epidemiology for the state of Kentucky, you know, trying to advocate in more traditional ways. But the Appalachian Trail was a little non-traditional way to come at this, but it was something I've always loved to do, so I decided to try and combine.
That's wonderful. That's so great, Logan. Listen, there's so much more you and I have to share on this work you're doing, and it's time for a station break right now. So stay with us, listeners. Logan's filled with great information. We have a lot more to discover. This is Katina Makris with Limelight Radio. We'll be right back.
Psychic World, Wednesday, 8 p.m. Pacific, 11 p.m. Eastern, with John G. Sutton, featuring his special guest, Countess Strella. One of Britain's most respected psychic mediums, John is an internationally published author, poet, and professional clairvoyant. His best-selling books include Psychic Pets, featured with John on the Walt Disney Channel, Animal Planet. Currently, John is the feature editor of the monthly Psychic World, which is the UK's Journal of Spiritualism. He has over 30 years of experience working in the field of paranormal studies. Countess Starella has an incredible ability to visualize your future in a positive, passionate way. This show offers all listeners the chance to call in and speak directly to John or the amazing Countess Starella. You can ask your personal questions about love, career, money, relationships, or whatever is troubling you in this often difficult life. What dreams may come? Join John G. Sutton and Countess Starella to discover your answer. See www.psychicworld.net.
Tune in each Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 Eastern Time on Transformation Talk Radio to Limelight Radio with Katina Macris. This is an inspirational, cutting-edge radio show educating worldwide listeners on a diversity of Lyme disease-related topics. Each week, Katina will interview some of the world's leaders in health, wellness, spirituality, and human potential. For more information, visit LimelightRadio.com. Hi, I'm Dr. Pat. I want to introduce you to my friends at BioResource, the exclusive Beyond Balance distributor in the United States and Canada. Used clinically by top Lyme doctors, Beyond Balance herbal formulas have helped thousands of patients battle tick-borne disease by providing superior immune system support and enhancing detoxification. Beyond Balance formulas are sold through healthcare professionals. The oral drops contain non-GMO food-grade vegetable glycerin, making them well-tolerated by children and alcohol sensitive patients. Practitioners often complement Beyond Balance formulas with high-quality homeopathic such as Pecanus Bigeric remedies to enhance patient results. For more information, licensed or certified healthcare practitioners can call BioResource, the exclusive Beyond Balance distributor for the United States and Canada, at 800-203-3775. That's 800-203-3775. And together, let's win the battle against Lyme disease.
Tune in to Intuit University, compassionate guidance connecting you to your inner wisdom with internationally renowned psychic and medium, Sherry Dillard, the second and fourth Thursday each month at 12 p.m. Pacific Time and 3 p.m. Eastern Time. Get ready for an hour of practical spirituality and a fun and magic carpet ride into the spirit realm. This hit show is a combination of call-in readings and intuitive mentoring as Sherry supports and empowers you to create your best life in relationships, career, finances, life purpose, and spirituality. For more information, visit SherryDillard.com.
Tune in each Tuesday at noon Pacific and 3 Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com for the Dr. Julie Show, All Things Connected with Dr. Julie Kroll, featuring weekly segments with David Eisen and the Chakra Sound System. Each week, you will journey through infinite possibilities, expand into social potential, and find beautiful beginnings where endings leave off. Changemakers from around the world will explore what's emergent about the environment, relationships, health, the arts, education, and the evolution of consciousness. Visit TheDrJulieShow.com.
Welcome back to Limelight Radio. This is Katina Macris, and we are visiting with Logan McCulloch today, who has trekked the Appalachian Trail for Lyme disease awareness and is passionately involved as an activist in the serious situation we're dealing with in our country. I want to remind listeners, this is a book giveaway show. I'm giving away copies of my award-winning inspirational memoir, Out of the Woods. Please call the station at 800-930-2819. I'll say that again, 800-930-2819. And Logan, I have to tell you, we have a caller on the line. So let's check in. We've got Kim Chappell from Indiana. Hi, Kim.
Logan, this is Kim Chappell. You know who I am.
Hi, Kim.
I just wanted to say how proud I am of what you've done. He has spread the word, more than, anybody I can think of. I myself have MS. He has asked me to get a Lyme test, which I plan to do because his symptoms are so similar. He has been through, heck, we'll just say. And for him to do what he's done is amazing. And I just wanted to let him know on the air that I think it's great. And I wish him the best.
Wonderful. Thank you, Kim, for applauding Logan and for sharing that. That's wonderful. I'm proud of Logan, too.
It's amazing. It's amazing what he, you know, what he went through and how sick he was. And even on the trail, he got sick. It was just, I followed the whole thing. It was just phenomenal.
Thank you. Thank you, Kim. I know
no
what
problem.
It's like to battle back from Lyme, too, and to take on a physical feat like this is really a testimony to Logan's spirit and his willpower and also his passion. So thank you for calling us,
Kim. And I'm going to read your book.
Good. Leave your address with Brian, our producer, and I'll get a book to you.
I will. Thank you.
Thank you for calling us. So,
no
Logan,
problem.
Let's continue. I'm very curious because you have really covered the East Coast here. Tell me, I'm really intrigued, how much awareness do fellow hikers have about Lyme disease? And also, you know, what did you note in terms of, you know, ticks themselves in, mm-hmm. you know, the various states as you progressed along?
Well, part of the advantage of hiking from the north to the south was that I actually crossed paths with the vast majority of through hikers that were starting in Georgia and moving north. I crossed paths with them in Maine and New Hampshire and Vermont as they were making their way to Katahdin. And I made sure and wear buttons and shirts that indicated my goal was to raise awareness on Lyme disease. So I had lots of daily conversations with hikers on the trail, and also with people in the small towns that the Appalachian Trail passes. About once a week, I would have to come off the trail and make it into a small town and resupply groceries, that kind of thing, usually clean up, do laundry, and then back to the trail. So I had lots of conversations. And I would say the level of awareness of the average hiker was not near as high as you would want it to be. As a matter of fact, the Appalachian Trail Conservancy, the volunteer organization that manages the Appalachian Trail, all primarily through volunteers, just recently completed a survey of through hikers, Katina, and less than half of those surveyed could identify the species of tick that carries Lyme disease, nor could they identify some of the most common symptoms. So
wow.
I feel really lucky. I was actually able to meet one of the education staff for the Appalachian Trail Conservancy when I passed through their headquarters in Harpers Ferry, West Virginia, Lori Pottinger, and just an amazing person. And we've opened a conversation of trying to improve that level of knowledge in the hiker community. And I think that's going to be an ongoing, you know, opportunity slash challenge. In the towns themselves, there was a great deal of awareness in, you know, states like New Hampshire, Vermont, Connecticut, New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and in Northern Virginia. Those are the areas that obviously have been so devastated by Lyme over the last 20 years. As you move further south, you know, the awareness level and, quite honestly, the ignorance level increased because it's just not being talked about. That inaccurate information that the tick species and the disease itself is not an issue when you get down into Tennessee and North Carolina and Georgia is still very, very prevalent. And I used the state of Virginia as an example when I would talk to people that 10 years ago, most Virginians probably wouldn't have considered Lyme an issue, but it's gotten so bad, you know this, they've just passed a law this past summer called the Lyme Test Disclosure Act of 2013 that mandates that local physicians, when they give one of the two substandard Lyme lab tests, the antibody tests, that they give a written disclosure statement to their patients that says the truth. These tests are so inaccurate that just because they come back negative does not necessarily mean that you don't have Lyme disease. Now, they passed a law like that because Lyme has grown so much in Virginia in just the last 10 years, and that's going to continue to happen in the southern states, you know, as well as those that are considered endemic in the northern part of the trail.
Very true. We had Dr. Carrie Clark from University of North Florida on Limelight Radio a month or so ago, and he was explaining to us how all of the tick species in the South are infected. The carrier birds, as they fly up and down, you know, and migrate, are loaded with infected ticks. And the Carolinas and Missouri and, you know, Tennessee, all of these areas are very, very afflicted. And doctors are not informed, as you said, about signs and symptoms or proper diagnosis. And that's a little shocking to me, what you just said about the Appalachian Trail Conservancy themselves not being aware. I mean, I feel like they should have signs up at huts and at various trailheads.
They do, Katina, but not to the level that we can, you know, and that they're very open to having help with that, but they are primarily an all-volunteer organization with a very tiny staff, a not-for-profit. So they're very open to trying to extend that, but they do have signage out there, but not to the level that that we would like to see. And I want to say Dr. Carrie Clark is a personal hero of mine, and I spoke to anybody that would listen about his research on the trail, because some of his research points out that the Lone Star tick is a carrier of Lyme bacteria, and the Lone Star is so far more populous in the eastern U.S. from north to south than even the deer tick, and a much more aggressive tick species to humans. So, you know, that's the kind of information that we want to get out in any way, shape, or form we can, and I was just trying to do whatever, you know, contribution that I could for that. And you know, part of my goal, too, Katina, was just to also be maybe a little symbol of hope for Lyme patients that are stuck at home, trying to recover their health, and just to be out there doing videos, posting them to YouTube, and showing that, you know, we can move through this. You've just got to take it one day at a time. And, you know, we are all in this together, and you're not alone.
It's very, very true. It's a long healing journey. This is not a quick fix, especially if the infection was not treated, as you said, promptly right up front. But when we get into the older forms of the illness, the more chronic form, it took me 5 years of treatments to get well. And that's not uncommon. It's a long haul, but you're right. Day by day, week by week, month by month, and actually exercising is a big piece of the recovery. So yes, tell us the YouTube channel that people can see these videos, because I watched some of them and they're wonderful.
Thank you. It's under just my name, Logan, L-O-G-A-N, McCulloch, M C-C-U-L-L-O-C-H. If you just search under that, you'll find my YouTube channel. My trek was called Journey Through Lyme, was the name of my hike. So most of my videos are in a playlist called the Journey Through Lyme playlist. And I did a number of videos about Lyme education, both before I went on the trail, during, and after. And then I did a number of short ones just trying to share the experience with people that, you know, might not be able to get out and enjoy the outdoors right now while they're going through their own treatment. So you've got a little bit of everything. And I have to say, I did a lot of videos up in your area of the country, Maine and New Hampshire and Vermont, just because it was so stunningly beautiful. And I also want to say that I wore tick protective clothing. Insect Shield sponsored my hike and provided me with clothing, permethrin impregnated clothing. And I wore it the whole trip. And
that's great.
I never had to pull a tick off of me one single time. And I do attribute a lot of that, you know, good fortune to the fact that I was wearing that clothing.
Insect Shield.
The Appalachian Trail is also typically at very high elevations.
So that
you're not quite
as
exposed to ticks as much as some places.
Hold your thoughts, because it's time for our station break. And let's talk about this a little bit more when we come back so people can be informed. Everyone, stay tuned. This is Katina Macris with Limelight Radio.
Introducing a new hit show, Sheer Alchemy with Leslie Fontaine on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Get ready to stir up your passions, remove your blocks, and shift into an entirely new existence. Gifted, Shifted, and Powerful is what this show is about. Tune in each month to Sheer Alchemy with Leslie Fontaine. Visit TransformationTalkRadio.com for show dates and times, and LeslieFontaine.com to say yes to explosive abundance.
Laura Longley is on a mission to remove stuckness from your life for good and replace it with happiness. Tune in Mondays at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern, and Tuesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com for The Laura Longley Show, where authentic change takes flight. Say yes to that inspired you and goodbye to your stuckness as Laura and her guests deliver powerful ways to work through common problems in this fun and unique hit show.
Tune in each Tuesday at noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, on TransformationTalkRadio.com for The Dr. Julie Show, All Things Connected with Dr. Julie Kroll, featuring weekly segments with David Eisen and the Chakra Sound System. Each week, you will journey through infinite possibilities, expand into social potential, and find beautiful beginnings where endings leave off. Changemakers from around the world will explore what's emergent about the environment, relationships, health, and the evolution of consciousness. Visit TheDrJulieShow.com.
Tune in to The Jen Royster Show, intuitive guidance to inspire your life, each Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific and 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This amazing show is an inspirational hour that will take you on an epic metaphysical journey to discover the spiritual approach to life's greatest challenges. Dr. Jen is an internationally known intuitive counselor, spiritual teacher, and energy healer. Call in for intuitive readings and visit JenRoyster.com for more information.
Join the Pacific Northwest's EFT Tappers at the 4th Annual Tappers Gathering this March 1st at Bastyr University. Tapping enthusiasts from across the region will be sharing healing stories, learning different EFT applications, and forging a strong community. This event raises money and awareness for continuing EFT tapping scientific research. All net proceeds go to our 501c3 nonprofit conducting a study showing how EFT can alter gene expression. Bring your cards and information for a fulfilled day of networking and inspiring one another. Visit www.nwtappersgathering.com or call 360-661-6877. www.nwtappersgathering.com or call 360-661-6877.
Laura Longley is on a mission to remove stuckness from your life for good and replace it with happiness. Tune in Mondays at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern, and Tuesdays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com for The Laura Longley Show, where authentic change takes flight. Say yes to that inspired you and goodbye to your stuckness as Laura and her guests deliver powerful ways to work through common problems in this fun and unique hit show.
Welcome back to Limelight Radio. This is Katina Makris, and we're visiting with Logan McCulloch today. A really great show about this amazing trek and his Lyme activism on the Appalachian Trail and also in the state of Kentucky. So, Logan, I've got two questions for you. First one is, let's continue that thread that we were on about wearing insect shield clothing while you were on the trail and any other prevention measures that you think are important for people that are going to be in the outdoors.
Yeah, I think what I would teach on the trail, you know, I gave talks along the trail at different groups, outdoor clubs, at colleges. I talked to the American Long Distance Hikers Association annual meeting and gave a lecture there. The tick protective clothing, I think, is particularly important. The permethrin impregnated clothing that you can either spray on for short-term prevention, or you can purchase clothing that's pre-treated, that's good for up to 70 washings from Insect Shield and companies like that. I always had that on all the time, but I was particularly careful when you understand where ticks live, and that's critical, I think, if you're going to go back out and enjoy the outdoors. They've got to have high humidity. They're typically in lower elevations, and they're going to be in brushy areas. So anytime your body is going to brush up against overgrowth, and there's moisture, you know, and in the forest, obviously, there's moisture, you're more than likely in tick habitat. So I encourage people, if you're out there hiking, stop every hour and or right when you pass through an area that could be tick habitat and do a thorough tick check. Make sure you're wearing those light-colored pants so those little teeny brown specks show up on them. You can't see these ticks. They're too small if you're wearing dark clothing. Tuck those pants into your socks and stop and at least do a good tick check from the waist down, you know, every hour or two. It doesn't take but a couple of minutes. Those kind of preventative steps, Katina, I think were huge in the fact that literally in 5 months on the trail, including sleeping outside almost every night, I never pulled a single tick off of my body.
That's
never
fantastic. That's really fantastic because I do know that people, and I went through this myself for about 2 years, people are actually tick phobic once they've been so ill with Lyme disease.
Right.
And, you know, it's hard. I mean, golf courses, you know, in lower elevation areas, as you said, are just prime habitat. So approximately what elevation do we not see the tick so much? Is it when we get above, what, 3,000 feet or so?
If you're getting up in the eastern U.S., even to 2,500, 3,000 feet, it's typically going to be drier air, which, you know, is less and less conducive to ticks. You know, as we know, their bodies dry out very easily, and if you're not going to be at great risk in a sunny area because it's not going to be a place that ticks hang out. Another tip that we always give to people is when you come home from an area that may have had ticks, don't throw your clothes in the washer first. Throw them in the dryer. Put them on dry, high heat for 10 to 15 minutes. That will kill every tick on your clothes. It'll dry them out and kill them. You can throw them in the washer cycle after cycle, and ticks will just survive and survive and survive. So
yeah, it's that dry, hot heat, right, that zaps
dry,
them.
Hot heat. They cannot stand being dried out. They desiccate and die. So, yeah, the higher the elevations, 2,000, 2,500, the lesser the chance. It's not impossible that you're not going to see them up there, but it's not their favorite place to hang out.
But people that are fishermen and that, you know, are along the riversides and are casting their lines, I mean, they're prime exposure, aren't they?
They are. And when you pass down in the valleys and the farmers' fields, you know, places that have some shade, some moisture, leaf litter, you know, the ticks like to get down into leaf litter in particular because it stays nice and moist even in dry periods of the year. You want to be hyper-vigilant in those areas. So a lot of times I had to pass through farmers' fields and boggy areas. And that's when I would really make sure and do my tick checks very regularly. I carried a mirror so I could look for places on my body that I couldn't see by myself. And it's always a great idea if you're hiking with a friend, you know, help each other with your tick checks because you want to check your hairline, places those ticks can get where you're not going to see them. And you may not be able to see that classic bullseye rash if you get one. You know, as you and I both know, as few as 50% of the people may get a rash at all, and maybe only half of those are the classic bullseye. That doesn't mean you don't have Lyme just because you don't present with a rash. You want to err on the side of caution, and that's what we really need to be teaching these doctors that are not necessarily as well-informed on the pathology of Lyme and the other co-infections as they need to be.
Definitely. Lots of education to be done. So, Logan, this is another question that I'm sure many of our listeners are very curious about, is how did you go from so seriously ill and incapacitated to build up your stamina and strength to the degree that you could take on such a feat of endurance?
Well, a lot of it was good fortune, Katina. I was an athlete before I got sick, and I was very diet conscious. I was in very good physical health before I succumbed to Lyme. I wasn't, I never got as sick as a lot of Lyme patients do, I think, in part because of that. And I was only misdiagnosed, I say only, for 5 months because we all know people that have been misdiagnosed for 5, 10, 15 years. So I wasn't as sick as some people, but My Lyme literate medical doctor helped me immensely because one of the pieces of the puzzle for me, as I think it is for a lot of people, is mold exposure as well as the Lyme infection. I had a genetic halotype, it's called, that does not eliminate mold spores from their body as most people do. About a quarter of the population has this profile, and we found it out through a blood type. When I started to be treated for mold illness, all my symptoms got dramatically better. And then I was able to start slowly doing some exercise, a little bit of biking, some walking. And from probably August of last year, I mean, of 2012, through the time I started my hike, I had about a year to slowly build back up to where I could. And then when I started hiking, I took it slow. In Maine, I had to listen to my body, and I couldn't cover the miles that I did later in the trip. And I think that's good advice for any Lyme patient. Do what you can, and come at it again the next day and do maybe a little bit more if your body's allowing you to do it. But some kind of movement and breathing is so important to the healing process.
Very true. That oxygenation and building up cardiovascular strength and endurance, and of course muscle strength, is critical. And I'll just share this little piece that I was bedbound and for 3 years, and I too was an athlete prior like you. And one of the things that I was able to achieve after I first learned to walk just out my door into the mailbox and back and down the street and, you know, a little farther, slowly, slowly, every day, is that I chose a local mountain to climb. But in the very beginning, all I could do was make it like a football field and back, you know?
Right.
And it took me 4 months to be able to conquer that mountain. And it was such a crowning moment for me when I summited that peak. So, you know, these are examples for our listeners that you can go from bedridden and housebound and rebuild your strength and stamina. And that's very, very, you know, insightful for us to hear that even on the trail, you had to really monitor yourself.
I did, you know, and I had to listen to my body. And some days, you know, it may not be, some days needed to be a rest day. And there were days where I thought I was going to cover X number of miles, but I really needed to give my body a rest. And, you know, like we always say, it's a marathon, not a sprint. But you get up and you do what you can each day and then set that day aside and let the next one unfold.
Next one unfold. And, you know, I do believe strongly that beauty and peace and spiritual presence is such a part of our healing, and nature provides all of that for us. So being out in the outdoors again, if we can make ourselves safe like you did with your prevention measures, mm-hmm. brings healing in another form too.
I totally agree. I thought a lot about many of your listeners, I'm sure, are familiar with Dr. Klinghart and the idea of being away from electromagnetic radiation for a period of time, of enjoying sunshine, fresh air, going to sleep when it gets dark and getting up when it gets light, having some exercise, being away from potential mold in buildings. I had a feeling all of those things were going to also help me with my healing. And I did get better while I was on the trail, even though it was very physically taxing. It's the hardest thing I've ever done. But it was, you know, nature is healing. There's no doubt about it. Even if you can get out to just the city park for 15 minutes and sit in the sunshine.
It is healing. It's so very healing. So, Logan, stay with us. Listeners, stay with us. This is Limelight Radio with Katina Makris. We'll be right back with you.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Hey, do you like free stuff? The Dr. Pat Show has an amazing giveaway program doing weekly giveaways on Facebook and Twitter. Go to facebook.com/thedrpatshow and click the like button. Then go to twitter.com/thedrpatshow and click the follow button. Then you can play along and enter to win some amazing prizes. Again, that's facebook.com/thedrpatshow and twitter.com/thedrpatshow.
Tune in Thursdays at 7 a.m. Pacific, 10 a.m. Eastern to Spirit Guidance Radio with Shannon Walbrand on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show with South Africa's top psychic will amaze and uplift you. Call in to receive detailed, specific answers that offer immediate solutions as Shannon interprets messages from your spirit guides. Whether it's love, business, or health, your spirit guides are ready to help. Visit ShannonWalbrand.com for more info. You are guided.
Get inspired. Create the life you desire with internationally known radio hosts and motivational speakers Sue London. Thursdays on TransformationTalkRadio.com at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern. Sue inspires millions of people to overcome difficult or traumatic situations in their lives. People feel hope, courage, and are ready to move forward after hearing Sue speak. Book motivational speaker Sue London for your next event at AskSueLondon.com. That's AskSueLondon.com.
Are you feeling stuck? Do you want to be free from fears and doubts and finally feel good about yourself, but you just don't know how to get there? Dr. Schaub's Accelerated Breakthrough Program provides you with the tools and solutions to go beyond your limitations and achieve self-empowered confidence. Call for your free phone consultation at 866-903-MIND. Visit CellularWisdom.com. That's CellularWisdom.com.
This is Katina Macris of Limelight Radio. Do you or someone you know suffer with Lyme disease, chronic fatigue syndrome, fibromyalgia, MS, allergies, loss of wellness? I did, and advanced cell training has been a restorative, self-healing modality, bringing renewed health and energy to my life. Thousands of others rave about the remarkable success Gary Bleyer's cutting-edge healing approach at AdvancedCellTraining.com creates. Request their free DVD for self-healing work in the comfort of your own home at AdvancedCellTraining.com. Be inspired to heal in new and expansive ways. Your life is too precious to ignore.
Welcome back to Limelight Radio. This is Katina Macris, and we've got Logan McCulloch with us today. I have to say that we've still got a couple books left to give away. So callers, please, if you would like to receive a copy of Out of the Woods, Healing Lyme Disease, Body, Mind, and Spirit, give a ring into Brian, my producer, at 800-930-2819. It's 800-930-2819, and I will send you copies of Out of the Woods. So, Logan, you have been in the woods on your trail journey. You are an avid advocate for Lyme disease awareness and education, and I have watched a few of your videos on your YouTube channel, which were fabulous. I can see why people loved them. And in particular, I was struck by a phrase you used that really seems very appropriate for what we're facing right now, and it is the coinage of being a whistleblower. Tell me about that. Tell me how you, envision yourself in that role and what that means for us.
Yeah, that topic came to my mind after repeated days hiking in Maine, and I recorded a video about 4 weeks into my hike when I actually got injured, and I was concerned I wasn't going to be able to finish, and I wound up staying at a little hiker hostel place called Andover, Maine, for about 4 unscheduled days trying to let my ankle heal. But it gave me the opportunity to sit down and record a video that had been in my head basically from the beginning of the trip. And I called it Lyme Truth, a call for a whistleblower. And this is not long after Edward Snowden kind of hit the news, and I I basically said whether you agree or disagree with that particular example of whistleblowing, it's hard to disagree with someone following their conscience. And I really and truly believe, Katina, that the vast majority of the employees in public health organizations in this country, including at the federal level, at the CDC, are good and decent people with all the right intentions. But I truly believe we are collectively being failed by the very top leaders in those organizations, and particularly the CDC. And I talked about that in that video, and I tried to make it a very fact-based argument, because I don't make that kind of a statement and come to that kind of conclusion lightly. And I called in that video for those employees that may be witness to behaviors and conflicts of interest inside their own organizations that just aren't right, to screw up their courage and step forward, because people are suffering and dying in this country and around the world at ever-increasing rates from this incredibly fast-spreading epidemic that, for whatever reason, is just virtually being ignored at the federal and, in many cases, at the state level. And that's just pointing out the dead elephant in the living room. It is just the truth that we're talking $9 million in federal funding for Lyme disease this year and asking for a 3% increase on that kind of funding when this is the fastest growing epidemic in the United States. And I talked about that in that video, Katina. I feel very passionate about that topic, and I found the Lyme patients that I met along the trail and via Facebook feel the same way, that something just doesn't add up with the way our large public health organizations are, or in most cases, are not responding to this epidemic.
Yeah, it's really, it's beyond disturbing. It's infuriating, really, because this is exploding. It's exploding. You know, ticks are multiplying at rates beyond historically normal. The epidemic is surging. And hello, wake up, government. We need help, and we need it now. And not just $9 million, but like $90 million.
Right. Well, and I think almost in every video that I recorded about the Lyme topic, I made a plug for people watching Under Our Skin as a great 90-minute investment in understanding the bigger picture with this. And I think it is a great tool, but even Under Our Skin and its wonderful job at pointing out the economic and political conflicts of interest among some of the key decision makers in these organizations still doesn't go quite far enough, because I don't even think that just pure economic self-interest and career self-interest explains what is or isn't happening at the national level. And, you know, I tried to talk about some of that in these videos, and I intend to continue this work, Katina. I'm trying to recover from this parasite infection right now, but my intention is at some point I'll be back out on the trail and trying to continue whatever contribution I can make at the advocacy level and keeping this dialogue, you know, alive, you know, along with people like John Donnelly, who's a friend of mine now. We found each other before either one of us started our hiking and cycling adventures. And it gives me such great optimism to know that there are people like that and all of these wonderful people I met along the trail and met online. I couldn't have done that hike without all the support that I got from the Lyme community. And I just want to acknowledge that, because we need to act as a community to change the face of what is or isn't happening with the response to this epidemic.
So very true. The Lyme disease community, actually, in my opinion, is a beautiful community. There are so many intelligent, caring, committed people that have had, you know, sterling careers or been very active in their communities, and then they become sidelined. But the work and the collaborative efforts and the level of sensitivity amongst us and care, I feel, is so filled with compassion. It's very beautiful, actually, amidst the horror of the suffering.
I totally agree. And along those lines, let me give a plug to one of those people, because there's a young lady. She's my age. I'm 53 now, and her name is Jamie Morton. And she is starting her Appalachian Trail hike to raise Lyme awareness on March the 20th at Springer Mountain, Georgia. And she's going to be hiking home to Maine. She's hiking because her sister is a Lyme disease survivor. And she's trying to raise awareness and support for a local Lyme organization called Lyme Buddies that's there in Maine. And I'm a big fan of Jamie. We met through another new friend, Amy, one of the co-founders of Lyme Buddies. We met online. Jamie has a blog, and she'll be blogging about her experience. And, you know, I'm just thrilled that there are other people out there kind of doing the same thing I was trying to do. And so if people want to live vicariously through another Lyme warrior that's adventuring on the trail, I'd encourage you to follow Jamie's trip this year. Her trail name is called Sunsplash, and she has a blog called sunsplashadventures.wordpress.com.
That's wonderful. Logan, I admire you so much, and let us all support Jamie with her trek north as she starts in the south. And it's sad to say that our hour is coming to an end on Limelight Radio with you today. You've been a beautiful guest. I've learned a lot from you, and I think our listeners have too, in your testimony to the strength of the human spirit and to the courage and inspiration to get out there and change the face of this epidemic. So thank you, Logan, for joining me today.
Katina, you're such a gracious host, and you know, hats off to you for all the advocacy work that you continue to do. And let's just keep taking it one step, 1 mile, one day at a time.
I agree with you. Thank you. It's wonderful to meet you and to share with you, and I know we'll be doing future work together. So thank you, listeners. This was a wonderful show today on Limelight Radio. I look forward to seeing and speaking with you all again next week, and you can visit limelightradio.com to listen to today's show and archive, and all of our shows are archived there. Thank you, Logan. Thank you, listeners. This is Katina Macris with Limelight Radio.
You've been listening to Limelight Radio with Katina Macris. Tune in each Wednesday at 1 Pacific Time, 4 Eastern Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Get ready for some of the most provocative conversation with leaders in health, wellness, spirituality, and human potential. If you've missed any part of this hit radio show, visit LimelightRadio.com. That's LimelightRadio.com. We'll see you next week on Limelight Radio with Katina Macris.
Then I go to my brother and I say, brother, help me.
Tune in Thursdays at 7 a.m. Pacific, 10 a.m. Eastern to Spirit Guidance Radio with Shannon Walbrand on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show with South Africa's top psychic will amaze and uplift you. Call in to receive detailed, specific answers that offer immediate solutions as Shannon interprets messages from your spirit guides. Whether it's love, business, or health, your spirit guides are ready to help. Visit ShannonWalbrand.com for more info. You are guided.
Listen to the Yo Andrew News talk show every Tuesday night at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Time. More info where to listen? www.yoandrewnts.com/listen. Don't get your message lost in the mail. Email us with this address, yoandrew@yoandrewnts.com. How about tweet Yo Andrew at AndrewTweetGeo? Taking a picture is easy. Instagram us today at yoandrewnts.
Tune in to Sheer Alchemy with Leslie Fontaine on TransformationTalkRadio.com and get ready to stir up your passions, remove your blocks, and shift into an entirely new existence. Speaker, teacher, channel, clairvoyant, Leslie Fontaine is a transformation catalyst who channels a powerful energy from Source to catapult listeners into living the life they were born to live. Whether it's shifting from scarcity to abundance, from emotional pain into joy, or from illness into health, Leslie will help you step into the true essence and power of all that you are with the help of the Ascended Masters and Archangels. You will not be the same. Visit TransformationTalkRadio.com for show dates and times and LeslieFontaine.com to say yes to explosive abundance.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
Thank you for listening to Transformation Talk Radio. Like us on Facebook/Transformation Radio Network. Tweet and follow us at TransformNet. Visit us at www.transformationtalkradio.com and find us on Pinterest, Google+, YouTube, spiritualnetworks.com, Flickr, Tumblr, and Spreaker. Just search for Transformation Talk Radio. Please stay tuned at the top of the hour.